Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. An anniversary celebration can be a very good thing for a Christian congregation. Interest in the church and its work is renewed or awakened, perhaps. Loyalties to this congregation, this group of believers, are strengthened. Additional energies of the church's members are channeled into the ministry of the church and into its fellowship life. Our congregation deserves all this attention and devotion because it is a part of the holy Christian church. When the Apostle Paul, in our reading before us from Ephesians chapter 5, talks about the church, he really is referring to the entire church made up of all believers in Jesus all around the world. However, what he says here, even though it has a much larger application than just to our local congregation, it also does directly apply to our congregation here, St. Andrew Lutheran Church, because our church is just one local branch of the whole Christian church on earth. To illustrate how we are to treat the church, the Apostle Paul points to the example of our Lord Jesus when he says, Christ loved the church. Love. This is what the church needs from all of its members above anything else. It's significant that the Apostle Paul compares the church to a woman, to a bride. A well-known contemporary Christian book on marriage counseling is entitled Love and Respect. And in that book, the author Emerson Eggerich emphasizes the general truth that in general, what most husbands want to feel and receive from their wives is respect. And also, in general, what most wives want to feel most and receive most from their husbands is the feeling that they are loved by their husbands. So it is also with the church. The church thrives on being loved. The church as a whole, as well as each individual congregation, is what it is because of love. The church was created and formed by the love of Jesus, his saving love for us sinners, and it has grown and survived through the love of the faithful witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth of that saving love of Jesus down throughout many ages and generations. The church's success today and its future destiny all depend on love. As we commemorate the 130th anniversary of the founding of St. Andrew Lutheran Church, we ought to keep this clearly in mind. The church's foremost need is for love. And as members of this local congregation, our highest responsibility is to provide it with love. However, the church is not always easy to love, is it? The church is composed of people. People who at one time were completely corrupt and degraded spiritually. Now, outwardly, we may have seemed to be decent enough, but inwardly, we were completely soiled with sin. We had loved other people and other things in the way that only God himself deserves and demands to be loved. The church is made up of individuals who have worshiped many other things instead of worshiping the true God. People who have worshiped self, or money, or power, or sex, or prestige, or other people or things in the place of the true Almighty God. And despite remarkable improvements, the church at times still does revert back to those old sinful ways. She has been lifted up out of the original degradation of her sins and her shame. She has been made beautiful and respectable, having been washed clean from her sins, but there are still streaks of corruption running through her character. Serious flaws and defects appear in her conduct. Her beauty fades. Her loveliness is often marred and disfigured. No doubt you have seen instances of this here in our own congregation. On an anniversary, we tend to forget all those faults or at least to downplay them. But we can't completely ignore them if we're being completely honest. This congregation is not always and in every way something that we can be proud of. There are times when, as a congregation, we become lazy and careless about our morals. Like all congregations, ours also shows signs of worldliness. Our members on occasion can become quarrelsome and uncooperative. We sometimes lose interest in our Lord and in each other. We sometimes allow the church's ministry of the gospel to flounder. The history of this congregation contains many thrilling and inspiring passages as we look back on the many years of God's grace and all the wonderful things that have happened here. But there is also a dismal side to its story. Now, this will always be the plight of every church here on earth. All churches are imperfect, marred by human weakness and sin. Now, too often, you and I react to those weaknesses, those defects, in not the best of ways. In some cases, we are too tolerant of sin that exists within the church. When we come across sinful patterns, we sometimes say, well, it's too bad, but there's not really anything that we can do about it. The church is made up of people, and people will be people. You simply cannot change them. You just have to deal with their shortcomings. Now, although there might be a grain of truth to those sentiments, there's also a great deal of falsehood in that overall statement. It is true that all church members will never be perfect on this side of heaven. However, we are all capable of improvement. To deny that fact is to deny the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within our hearts, who is at work within each one of us. At first glance, that kind of tolerant attitude might seem to be very good-natured, but in reality, it is irresponsible and even unloving. When we are careless about sin that creeps into the church, we permit it to get even worse. We show that we simply don't care all that much about the church as we should. But in other cases, we go to the opposite extreme, and that is just as bad for the church, if not worse. When things are not going as they ought to be, or perhaps when they just aren't going the way that we would like them to be going, we might become angry or disgusted with the church. We might criticize the church or certain members of it, and we might even withdraw our support from the church. We might become ensnared in conflicts with other members. But whenever we strike out in that way, we are inflicting serious damage on the church. Anger and condemnation and quarreling cannot help. They only drive it farther into degradation. With such reactions, we cannot really solve any of the church's problems, but we only end up making them worse. And in the process, we also reveal our own selfish natures. There's only one thing to do when we come across faults that we find within our church, and that is to renew our love for the church. More than anything else, that is what the church needs. Love can strengthen her and straighten her out and make her beautiful again. We must love the church the way that Jesus loved her. Our text tells us how Jesus loved the church. It says Jesus gave himself up for the church. Seeing the church corrupt and weak in its sinfulness, Jesus did not condemn the church. Instead, he died for it. He gave himself over into death and damnation so that she might be forgiven, so that each one of us members of the church might be forgiven and be saved. Without regard for his own well-being, the Son of God went to the rescue of this low and unlovely creature. He gave his own life for the church. He gave himself for the church. And that is the same way that we should also show our love for the church. Now, we may never be called on to give up our life, to die for the church as Jesus did, but we can spend our life in service to the church. The weaker and the more troubled the church may seem, the more she needs our support. Instead of abandoning her when things don't seem to be going well, we ought to work even harder than before for the mission of the church. Even if results seem to be meager, and even if the future seems to be not very promising, we should still love the church and give ourselves for her. That is what our Savior did for her. And there's another way also that we can show our love for the church. The text says that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. When the church becomes stained and defiled with sin, instead of turning away from her, we should help to cleanse and beautify her. And Jesus has provided us with the marvelous cleansing agents that are needed to accomplish that cleansing. Jesus has packed all the purifying power of the cross into his word and sacraments. And so to combat sin and trouble within the church, we must promote the use of the means of grace. And so by your example and by your encouragement, you can bring other members of the church and other members of our community to partake more generously of God's word and of his sacraments. When that happens, the church's guilt is washed away by the blood of Christ, and her beauty is restored. Her strength is revived by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that once again she can be at her best. If you really love the church, you will love her even when she is tarnished and grimy and not the most lovable. However, that also does not mean that you approve of all the dirt and grime that exists. Your love will not rest until something has been done about those problems, until those things have been washed away by God's grace. But why love the church? What is she to you? What is it that she has done to deserve such devotion? Well, we should all love the church in the first place because she is the bride of Christ. Your Lord and Savior Jesus rescued her from degradation and from death because he wanted her to belong to him as his bride. If you love and respect Jesus as your Savior, you will also treat his church with that same love and respect. Whatever you do for or against the church reflects directly upon the church's heavenly bridegroom, Jesus. And another reason why we should love the church is because the church is our spiritual mother. Yes, she may have her faults, but even so, she is the one through whom we were either brought to spiritual life in this place or strengthened in our faith in Jesus our Savior. She has protected you and cared for you spiritually all these years. And so, as your mother, the church is entitled to your love. You should view her blemishes sympathetically and provide for her generously because she has done so much for you by being the channel of God's grace and mercy to you through his word and sacraments. And in the third place, we should also love the church because she is destined for far better things than we see now. She's by no means a hopeless object of our pity, but rather the day is coming, as the Apostle Paul tells us in our reading, when every spot and wrinkle will be removed and will never return again. The church's character and appearance may seem to be shabby from time to time here on earth, but in eternal life with God in heaven, it will be completely transformed. There, the church, all believers, will live forever with God in magnificent splendor before the throne of God, seeing him face to face. Because of her present shortcomings, she may not always seem to deserve our love and our efforts, but because of her future glory that God has promised, she most certainly does. So we really all should love the church. And we are all able to do so because we ourselves have experienced love in its highest form. When we said before that Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that includes each one of us because we are all members of the church. We have all personally shared in that great outpouring of love that took place on the cross of Calvary those many years ago. We have enjoyed Jesus' constant affection and care throughout our lives. Each new contact that we have with that love of Christ, that message of his full forgiveness of our sins and salvation and the promise of eternal life, that builds us up in our power to love and dedicate ourselves to the mission of the church. In short, as the Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, we love because God first loved us. It's as simple and as certain as that. Now let's go forward and live it. Amen.